friends with the monster. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. You're trying to save me.
Stop holding your breath. Will it be a continuance of the Browns being able to not only enhance that 4-3 record, but notch another one in front of all of you, the adoring Browns Nation, who, oh, made it real loud. Everybody was remarking about that on Sunday as the Browns took care of the Oakland Raiders. Michael Reguy, Matt Wilhelm, inviting you back, and we welcome in our guy from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. You hear him each and every Wednesday right here with us as we say hi to Scott Petrak. Scotty, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Terrific. Everything is great. Scott down, of course, asking many of the questions of Mike Pettine about an hour ago. Let's start, Scotty, with the Jordan Cameron situation. We were just talking about it. Third time he's been concussed inside a couple of years. It seems like that Mike Pettine has a lot of confidence in the coaching staff, in both Gary Barnage and Jim Dray, to be able to get things accomplished in the pass game. Where are you with that? And do you think it's going to force Kyle Shanahan, without Cameron, for the next couple, maybe to have to look at it, approach it, and do things differently?
Yeah, I mean, I think those two guys are solid, Dre and Barnage, but they don't have the athleticism that Jordan Cameron does. They don't stretch the field. I think the plays that they've made so far have been off scheme. You know, off play action where the guy's running open. It's a, you know, Dre caught a 16-yarder where nobody's in front of him. He caught a 2-yard pass and turned it upfield. I'm not sure either of those guys gives you that middle-of-the-field, down-the-seam threat that Jordan Cameron does, which means that's one more weapon taken away from Kyle Shanahan and Brian Hoyer. You know, you don't have Josh Gordon. If the run game doesn't get going, then all of a sudden you kind of – the defense can really try to take away what you're doing well. So I think it's a blow. And then on a bigger note is, you know, you got to be worried about Jordan Cameron's long term.
Sure.
I know guys come back from three concussions, but you still have to worry about that.
Sure. And so that being said, do you feel that this offense is more likely to get innovative, meaning different personnel, maybe some four wide receivers or some 20 sets, as I talked about yesterday, meaning three wide receivers, two backs, or they're just essentially going to, you know, continue on and maybe not feature the tight end position like they did with Jordan Cameron and just have Barnage and Dre fill that tight end role?
Well, I think what you saw when Jordan missed the game early in the season, I think it was week two, you saw a lot of two tight ends, and then they ran the ball a bunch out of those formations. So I could see that. I could see Dre and Barnage playing a bunch, and they say, you know what? We're going to run – you guys stack the box. We're going to run at you with their double tights, maybe even go with the fullback and see how you stop it. But then when it's necessary – when it's mandatory throwing downs or obvious throwing downs, then I think you'll see maybe both tight ends come off the field and you go to the three wides.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. So that's something that we're going to be looking for. And it's always evolving, isn't it? It's always changing week to week and what you have and what you don't have. The National Football League, they got their full complement of running backs back, again, because of, you know, having Terrence West active against the Oakland Raiders. But, Scotty, how did you break all of that out, and what do you glean from Mike Pettine's comments, actually on Monday, with regard to, because everybody, the fan base was all tremendously up in arms at Isaiah Crowell, only got one carry, didn't get a lot of reps, didn't get a lot of snaps. Was it just a direct correlation to a week before and that, you know, they only lost one, but he put the football on the ground three times and it possibly sent off some red flags in the head coach's mind?
I think that's why he did not get the ball when the Browns had the lead late in the game. I think he said, Mike Pettine said, you know what, I can trust Ben Tate. We're trying to kill the clock. We're trying to run out the game. Why risk something crazy negative happening with the rookie who put the ball on the ground? What was surprising was that Isaiah Crowell didn't get carries earlier in the game. He played three snaps, got one carry. And it's an interesting situation because you have the two rookies. You have practices supposedly deciding who gets the carries behind Ben Tate. And we don't get to see enough of that. We don't know what Crow's doing compared to West. And we don't know how they're doing in blitz protection. So you have to trust the coaches on that. But having seen all three guys run this season a decent amount, I'd like to see Isaiah Crowell get more carries just because I think he has the ability to break it every time he has the ball.
Now, to stay on the run game topic, we've discussed yesterday, and we've got multiple tweets, and you know, a lot of them are saying it's the key, the one thing they'd like to see fixed, and one key they, you know, we all know and feel needs to get fixed for us to be, you know, in a lot of football games, especially as we play some of the higher caliber across the NFL. In your own eyes, what is the problem, and how do we fix that?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest problem is no Alex Mack, and you can't get Alex Mack back. But I do think with Nick McDonald at center now and moving forward, you know, Mike Pettine said Monday that it was the right move to bring him back, to insert him. It lets John Greco go back to where he's more comfortable. I think with Nick McDonald now, there's a chance for those five guys to get the cohesion that that starting unit had when the season opened. Now, you're never going to be as good as you were with Alex Mack.
Sure.
But you can have better cohesion. There's the five guys working in unison on those wide zone plays. I don't think you can expect it to be good in Nick McDonald's first game action with this team and first game action since 2012. So I think there is reason to think that 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, those five guys will work better as a unit, and therefore the run game will be better.
This is for both of you. Here's the one thing that I liked, and I got in a discussion at the stadium with some fans the other day, and they were like looking at me. We were talking about the run game, and they were all about, same some of the things we were just talking about. I said, you know what? You should feel good, though. This is what they are now. This is what they want. Even though it was not real productive, they still ran the football 25 times. They only had 54 snaps. Do you both like the fact that the commitment is going to be there, and we're not just going to give up on it after 10 carries if we're only averaging two a carry?
No, I love it. And I think, and also, too, some of that falls on the fact that, you know, they don't think they have a quarterback that can put the ball in the air 50 times, or that they want a quarterback putting the ball. Not saying he can or he can't. They would prefer him not have to.
That equals loss most of the time, Maddie.
That's my point. Exactly.
Is 40 or more?
You know,
that's
because,
not an L attached to it.
Because you got to figure you're going to get sacked 3 to 5 times when you put it in the air 50 times. And also, too, as the defense is, you know, gets very comfortable with your types of offensive concepts, they're going to get a couple picks as well, which, as we know, when you lose that turnover battle, you're more likely to lose the football game. But I love it. And I think if I were a part of that offensive line and I were one of those running backs, even though it's tough treading right now, it's something that I'm continuing to buy into, and it feels really good that, hey, they're going to keep giving it to me because I trust these guys in front of me. I know I have the trust of my coaches that are calling the plays. I'm going to pop one of these, or we're going to get it right one of these weeks.
Yeah, you know, and I don't think this should be a surprise to anybody, because Mike Pettine came in talking about this as a style of football he wanted to play. He wanted to have a good defense, and we didn't see that right off the bat. He wanted to run the ball, and he wanted to be in a lot of games late. And no matter who his quarterback is, whether it's Brian or Johnny, I think that's how he wants to play. And the fact is, in my opinion, in this league, unless you have Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, or Tom Brady, and maybe Drew Brees, you can't win. That's how you have to win. There's 28 other quarterbacks in the league that you play with. All right, let's throw it 28 times and see if we can maximize those 28 throws and keep the game close as we go into the fourth quarter. You don't spread it out 50 times and throw the ball all over the field.
Check him out at Scott Petrak on Twitter. He does a terrific job. Illyria Chronicle Telegram, Browns, NFL. All right, guys. So, and Scotty, you just mentioned it. As we continue here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, the defense, if we go back really to the, I'm going to say the second half against Tennessee.
Yeah.
Right? Second half against Tennessee through the Pittsburgh game. Jacksonville, the two TDs fourth quarter by the Jags were a result of turnovers deep in Browns territory. And then against Oakland. Is this the defense that was billed and advertised that we've been waiting to see? Or is there still a lot more to give in the form of, at least they're starting to get it squared away, though?
Yeah, oh yeah. I think it's starting to get where Mike Pettine and Jim O'Neill want it to be. And you're right, it started in that second half against Tennessee. They gave up a garbage touchdown against Pittsburgh. They gave up two short field touchdowns against Jacksonville. So I really have seen progress. I think the injuries across the defensive front, the line, have kind of retarded that progress. They haven't gotten there fast enough. I do think Kaywan Williams helped stabilize that secondary in a big way. Now you see Justin Gilbert kind of finding his feet. And Mike Pettine said today, we got four guys back there. And if you got four guys, you can do some stuff, and we don't have to force Gilbert to as many snaps as maybe we did earlier in the year. So I think it's starting to come around. I don't think it'll be where they want it to be completely until you get, you know, Phil Taylor back. And right. Billy Winch is supposed to be back this week, but you need Phil Taylor. And then you still need that opposite production at the outside linebacker. Kruger had the big game this week. I think you still need to see some sack production from the Mingo and the Sheard for this defense to be really firing on all, you know, whatever cylinders, 11.
You're right. And, guys, just one update. ESPN's own Adam Schefter has reported the Bucs running back, Doug Martin, is in a walking boot and did not practice today. So it sounds like Bobby Rainey and Charles Sims time. Charles Sims is actually on the current injured reserve designated for return. So he's been inactive and on that list for the last 6 weeks. So, and this, again, guys, this is a rushing attack that ranks 29th in the league, only producing 86.4 yards. So that is something to keep our eye on as the week goes on, and something we should be able to take advantage of, knowing that ball is going to be in the air, you know, with Mike Glennon hopefully standing on his spot. So attacking that spot, I think, is the focus of the defense this week.
Sure, you get a lead, you make a young quarterback throw the ball a bunch like we've talked about, and he doesn't scare you like Derek Carr, who could get out of the pocket a little bit, Jake Locker, guys that have given the Browns trouble. He doesn't have that in his bag. He stands in there. He's a big kid, but he stands in there and throws the ball. So he gets behind. All of a sudden, you can see those sack numbers start to rise Sunday.
You mentioned it, Scott. K'Wan Williams has come back again. He was concussed, and he was able to get back a little bit, although, you know, got banged again against Oakland. But Justin Gilbert, we've never doubted, any of us have ever doubted, you know, just the innate skills and the talent level he has. Is maybe some of the things, the tough love that he got, a couple of excellent pass breakups the other day against Oakland, one in the end zone. The tough love and the way they approached him paying dividends now, is it starting, the light bulb starting to come on?
Well, I think that's part of it, and I think even maybe a bigger part of it is he's starting to gain confidence. He had a couple good practice weeks and got a couple picks, and you can just see he carries himself different. You know, I'm not around him a ton, but just walking by him in the locker room, watching him in a half-hour practice, you can see him kind of just walk differently. Like he says, okay, I belong out here. Now I remember what it's like to make a play, and I think that carries over to Sunday as long as he's doing the right technique and carrying out those fundamentals. And we saw it, that break, he broke up that back shoulder, and it was a good throw from Derek Carr, and he broke up. That was a big-time play for a corner.
It was, and I agree. And I think, again, as I said earlier, I look for him to have another great week, and that would be, you know, kind of compounding three in a row. And it all stems from the opportunity against the Jacksonville Jaguars when he got thrust into that role, playing against rookie wide receivers, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee at that point. And I almost said after the game, it felt like he was back at Oklahoma State, probably not playing with the best technique, but understanding that he was also playing against not a highly polished wide receiver either, so he could get away with that. He may be in that situation again this week against another rookie wide receiver in Mike Evans, a rookie who will be thrust into action, but again, not as polished, a bigger guy who doesn't run the best routes, where Justin Gilbert may be able to take advantage of him.
Well, and this is a good week for him to be on the field. You have two big targets for Tampa Bay, and that's one of the reasons they drafted Justin Gilbert, because he's a big corner. If you can slide Buster inside and go Joe and Justin on the outside, then all of a sudden you can start to match up with Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, another point of consternation for Browns Nation is the return game. Guys, where's it at, and what is Mike Patton looking for? And Chris Tabor, again, there's issues in the punt return side. Where are they going to go to get it squared away? And is Travis Benjamin going to continue to get reps and get opportunities in that punt return game?
In my eyes, and I've made it very clear, and we actually answered the question yesterday, is I think, you know, Jim Leonard to me is the guy that I want. And I know, you know, Nathan's gripe is, well, everybody else is averaging 8 to 10, 12, 14 yards, you know, per punt return, and you want a guy that can flip the field. And to me, in my eyes, it's the possession of the football is the most critical play in the game. So whoever you have 100% confidence in that can secure the possession first and then potentially make a play. Because I think there may be a scenario where a guy like Jim Leonard, it's not like he's handicapped, he can catch the ball and get 6 yards, but not fumble the football. And again, secure possession so that you can guarantee that Brian Hoyer and that offense will be walking onto the football field to take a first and 10 down.
That's been anything but a guarantee this season.
No, and I get Matt's point completely, but I think as a if I put myself in a coaching spot, I'd be so tempted to want that big play out of Travis Benjamin because I've seen it before.
I get it.
You know, so I know why then you yank him if he fumbles, but every week I'd watch him in practice. I'd say, you know what, this guy gives us the best chance to break one off. If we're struggling on offense, if we're the underdog and we need a big play, I'd be really tempted to put him out there, which is why I thought he'd be out there against Oakland, and he was, and he had one good return, and then he had the fumble. So I think you'll continue to see Travis Benjamin sprinkled in there just because he has that ability to explode.
And again, for it's the but and if. And what you just talked about is the we'll get a coach fired. So
however,
you know.
Right? However, Scotty, does the winning mojo stay grooving at home here, and the boys head down to Cincinnati a week from tomorrow at 5-3 after another home win?
You know what? I think it does. You know, I've kind of readjusted how I think the games are going to go just because of the Alex Mack loss and the struggles with the running game. I think they're going to be tighter games probably for a long time now.
Yeah.
But I think we'll see a tighter game, and I think the Browns are going to win. I think it's at home. I like the quarterback matchup. Brian Hoyer, I like him better than Mike Glennon. And I think the Browns will make enough plays. I don't know how big the score will be, but I think they're going to win, and then there'll be a lot of excitement going into Cincinnati.
There it is. He'll continue to tell you why. You can do it either on Twitter, at Scott Petrak, as he's here in Berea every day, making sure you are right up to speed. And, of course, make sure you catch his stuff in the Elyria Chronicle Telegram. Safe trip to, well, there's a game first, but if we don't see you, and we may not, safe trip to Cincy too, Scotty.
Appreciate it, Reg.
All right. We'll talk to Scott Petrak soon. Again, I'm not 100% sure how we're going to do next week yet, but when we do, we might have Scott Petrak right here in the Dog Bowl with us before the trip to Cincinnati. Get that all figured out. All right, don't go away. Hashtag Mailbag Wednesday. When Matt Wilhelm and I get back, you can tweet at MattWilhelm57. At Michael Regai, at Browns_Daily. We'll get into the mailbag when we return. Don't go away. Still a lot to talk about as we take you up to 3 o'clock this afternoon. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Force.